Lecture 22, Theological Responses to the Nazi Holocaust.
We come now to one of the greatest challenges to modern Jewish thought, to Jewish faith in general, and that, of course, is the impact of the Nazi Holocaust on Jewish thinking, on Jewish reflection, on the meaning of being Jewish, particularly for those who survived the Holocaust and need to somehow endure and overcome in the years after the 1940s. Clearly, it is very interesting to see historically how this discussion evolves. It doesn't happen right away. In 1945, except for the survivors themselves who wrote personal diaries, some of them available, some of them not at the time, very few thinkers dealing with modern Jewish thought wrote extensively on this subject. Not until the 1960s do we find in print a thinker whose name is Richard Rubinstein, who we will talk about very shortly, and later Emil Fackenheim and others, have any of these thinkers begun to address the issue head-on with extensive reflection, trying to incorporate it into their own thinking about Jewish thought and Jewish faith. As we will see, it wasn't that people were totally silent, but perhaps one can argue that, at least relatively speaking, the shock of the Holocaust, its unbelievable impact upon Jewish consciousness was so great that the most appropriate response for at least a while was silence, was a kind of inner reflection, rather than to write something quickly with haste that could simply catch easily or resolve quickly the issues that were at hand. What do we mean when we say the Nazi Holocaust has had a great impact upon Jewish belief? There is, of course, a long history in Jewish tradition of reflections on theodicy. That is, the question of how can there be a God in the face of evil? From the book of Job on, Jews have been caught up in a discussion about their own painful fate. Why have Jews been singled out for slaughter? Why has God punished us among the nations of the world? Within the theology of the covenant, already in the biblical times, we were exiled, we were pained, we were subjected to misery because God is punishing us for not observing the covenant. That was one theological response. Another theological response was simply, again, we don't know God's ways. We know they are right, says Moses Maimonides, for example, but we don't know exactly how God works. And therefore, we must accept his will and ultimately hope for the best. Perhaps that is an explanation we could apply to the Holocaust as well. But clearly, in our most modern era, the Holocaust raised the question again of God's presence or absence in a time of mass Jewish slaughter. How can one be a religious Jew after the Holocaust is really the question. How can one believe in God after the Holocaust? How can one believe in God in its traditional form? How can God really be understood as someone who brought about mass destruction? If God is omniscient, omnipotent, if God can do everything, how can there be such evil and tragedy? Perhaps God burned with his victims at Auschwitz. Perhaps there is no God. So that is really a question that we're going to have to deal with today in this lecture, in the context of the thinkers that I have outlined. But there are other questions that we should also add to this one question about God's absence as a result of the Holocaust. There is also not only a question about faith in God, there is also a question about faith in humankind, in man.